We read the Word of God from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thus far, the reading of the Holy and Divine Scripture. We consider as our text this morning, verses 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Beloved, I chose the psalm this morning because the truth of the psalm is what we need to hear this morning. We had two announcements with regard to serious cases of discipline in the church. And in those cases of discipline, very, very destructive sins have been revealed. And I have myself and the elders personally dealt with those who have been destroyed by those sins and those who have done the destroying by those sins. And although it is not my main purpose this morning to speak about your and my responsibility in light of those announcements, I do want to say a word to you about your responsibility in light of those announcements. Your responsibility, first of all, is you may not deny the very serious and real nature of those sins. You may not overlook them. You may not seek to minimize them. And so to, in effect, undermine the discipline of the consistory. The announcements previous, these announcements now make that discipline your discipline. Discipline is not a matter merely of the consistory. It's a matter of the entire congregation. And those charges that were made are not the consistory's charges anymore. They are your charges. They are your charges. In God's and Christ's name, against the sinners. And because they are your charges, you must also seek out those sinners. You must go talk to them. You must go talk to them, not so that you could talk about earthly things and how your day went, and how his day went, or mutual concerns that you may have, That's all out of place. When you talk to them, you may only have one word for them. That's it. One word. You must repent. In God's name, I tell you, repent. Furthermore, the psalm talks about us in these matters and directs us in these very difficult matters to the one who has been sovereign and is sovereign and will be sovereign over all these cases, these matters, as they have appeared in our church. The psalm, from beginning to end, is about Jehovah God. It's about Jehovah God as the I am that I am, and as the I am that I am is the great shepherd of his sheep. Jehovah God knew all these things. Jehovah God sovereignly, carefully, in his will and good pleasure for us and for our salvation, brought these things to light. And Jehovah God, the I am that I am, the great shepherd of his sheep, will guide us through all these things. The psalm, the verses in particular that I've chosen, the psalm is about who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect. It's about our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's about the fact that not a hair can fall from our head except it be by the will of God. It's about God's absolute sovereignty. His absolute sovereignty, not only in the world in general, but in the church in particular, and in your and my lives individually. The psalm, you understand, is a personal confession. David doesn't talk about us and we and Israel. David talks about I, me. Jehovah is my shepherd. That's a confession. That's the personal confession of the believer as the believer walks through the valley of the shadow of death, as he faces a storm of trial and tribulation and affliction and trouble and heartache. David says he's in the presence of his enemies. That has been true. That has been true in these cases. God's people lived in the very presence of their enemies. They walked through a very dark, dark valley, a valley of death. God was with them. He never left them. Not for a single moment. Because Jehovah, the I am that I am, is the great shepherd of His sheep. And that's what we must say this morning. Not as a congregation generally, that's true. As a congregation, we must say this, but you must say this. You must say this as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You must say this as you live in the very presence of your enemies. You must say this: the Lord, Jehovah God, is my shepherd. I fear no evil. And so let's this morning look very briefly at this psalm, the believer's shepherd. Let us notice the shepherd. Let us notice the sheep. And let us notice the pasture. The Bible, of course, beloved, is full of imagery. And that's because God made the earthly to portray the heavenly. And God instituted various things in creation to be living pictures for us. He made the parent-child relationship. He made the husband-wife relationship. He made the relationship also between a shepherd and his sheep. And all that imagery in Scripture serves the same purpose, to reveal God as the God of His people in Jesus Christ. You might say that's the theme that runs through all of Scripture, through every psalm, through every proverb, through every chapter of the Bible, through every book of the Bible, and through the whole Bible itself. The whole Bible stands in the service of revealing this truth: Jehovah God is the God of His people in Jesus Christ. And so it is with our text. The rich imagery of the text is of a shepherd who cares for his sheep. And the main figure of the text and of the whole psalm is the shepherd, Jehovah God. And we must ask, therefore, first of all, when Jehovah God calls Himself in Scripture a shepherd, what does He mean by that? What is He teaching us by that? We're far removed from sheep and caring for sheep. But David wasn't. David cared for sheep. He loved his sheep. And David was the great shepherd of Israel as the king. And David here writes about Jehovah God as our shepherd. And you must understand about a shepherd. A shepherd, first of all, knows his sheep. In the old times, there would be several owners of their sheep, and they would put all of those sheep in one big sheepfold. And they were all mingled together. And the shepherd could go into that sheepfold, and he knew every one of his sheep. He knew the sound of their bleat, and he knew what they looked like. That's what a shepherd, that belongs to what a shepherd is. He knows his sheep. He knows not merely how many sheep he has, but he knows the individual sheep and that sheep's individual characteristics and that sheep's individual personality and needs. He loves those sheep. That's part of his knowledge. His knowledge of his sheep is a knowledge in the deepest love for those sheep. And secondly, the shepherd not only knows his sheep, but he knows what's good for them. The psalm implies that the shepherd leads them in and out of that sheepfold, and that shepherd knows where the good grass is, and he knows where the clean water is. And he leads them in and out to give them pasture. The shepherd knows what is good for his sheep, and therefore in his love for his sheep, He gives His sheep that which is good for His sheep. And a shepherd, therefore, not only knows his sheep, and he knows what's good for those sheep, but the shepherd also knows the enemies of his sheep. He understands the sheep's complete vulnerability. He knows that there are wolves and lions and bears who lie in wait for those sheep, that at the opportune moment they may strike and destroy in you or run off with a little lamb. And the shepherd, knowing those enemies of his sheep and his love for them, is willing and able to defend them. As David ran after the lion and caught that lion by the beard and slew that lion. David ran after the bear and plucked the little lamb out of the mouth of the bear. Shepherd knows the enemies of his sheep, and he goes after the enemies of his sheep in order that his sheep might be safe. And the shepherd knows his sheep. He knows what's good for them. He knows their enemies. And that shepherd is patient and long-suffering with his sheep. Maybe that's the chief characteristic of the shepherd. He's patient and long-suffering. The sheep as a domesticated animal cannot exist without a shepherd. The sheep isn't a cow or a bull or a goat that can, in a certain sense, take care of itself. Sheep can't. Without the constant, patient, long-suffering attention of that shepherd, those sheep will perish. They'll wander away and plunge off a cliff. They'll walk off and get themselves caught in a thicket. They'll eat their pasture right down to bare dirt, so they starve. They'll fall prey to a wolf or to a lion or to a bear. And constantly, therefore, the shepherd, with patience and long-suffering, must care for those sheep. And now, Jehovah God is the great shepherd of his sheep. Jehovah is his great covenant-keeping name. He is unchangeable in his love, in his affection, in his long-suffering, in his patience for his sheep. He's unsleeping as regards his attention for those sheep. And all that is true of a shepherd is found in an infinite degree with Jehovah God. Jehovah God, beloved, knows his sheep. He knows them because it is he that hath made them and not we ourselves. He has made them not merely in the sense of their physical creation, so that he has given them their personality and their characteristics and their being and their shape and their place to serve him. But he has made them in his grace. Jehovah knows his sheep because it is he who has made them his sheep from all eternity. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever he had formed the earth and the world, out of the whole human race, Jehovah God made his sheep by the divine decree of election. He wrote their names, each name, in the Lamb's Book of Life. He graved them upon the palms of his hands so that they were always before him. Jehovah God knows his sheep. He knows them inside and out. He knows their whole life story. For he laid it out and determined every last event of it. He knows them. He knows them in His love. All of His thoughts, from eternity to eternity, are thoughts of peace and love and affection toward His sheep. And Jehovah God, who knows His sheep, knows what is good for them. He knows, you understand, not merely what is good for them as regards their life. We know that. Jehovah God determined absolutely every event that happens to us in our life. Nothing comes to pass by chance. Nothing. Not even the evil. There can be great evil. There is great evil that comes in the life of the child of God. You might say even inexplicable evil. Jehovah God determined that too. He determined that not as that which He Himself approved of. Jehovah God is not a God who ever approves of sin. He doesn't turn a blind eye to it. He does not explain it away. He does not sweep it under the rug. He does not hide it. Jehovah God hates sin. And the evil that comes into the life of the child of God is determined by Jehovah God is that which He hates. That which He hates and which He sets Himself to destroy. But is that for which He has a good purpose for you and for me. Is that which in His sovereignty, He has determined to work for our salvation. And that salvation, and this is comes to the heart of what Jehovah God knows is good for us. Now, Jehovah God gives Himself to us. That's the good. He feeds us with Himself, with His goodness, with His mercy, with His grace, with His loving kindness, with His long suffering, with His patience, constantly. That's really the pasture of the psalm. Jehovah God knows how to give us a good pasture. And that good pasture is Jehovah God's own covenant fellowship that He constantly gives Himself to us as our only good. That He constantly causes us to know Him in His love and to give us a peace that passes all understanding. Jehovah God knows His sheep not only, but He knows what's good for them. And Jehovah God, too, knows the enemies of His sheep. He knows the devil, like a roaring lion, goes about to seek whom he may devour. He knows the hatred of the ungodly world toward His sheep. He knows that His sheep walk through a valley of the shadow of death, surrounded by their enemies. He knows all the wicked tricks and all the devices and all the lies and deception that the devil and the world and ungodly men raise against his sheep. He knows them all. He knows the power of our flesh. He knows the temptations. He knows our weaknesses. And nothing escapes the omniscient sight of Jehovah God. And Jehovah God always sets himself as the shepherd between the enemies of his people and his dear sheep. He suffers no man to do them harm. And oh, he's patient. He's long-suffering. His love is ever changes. Never changes. Jehovah God will never not love us. Never. His mercy is ever fervent. You know what that means, don't you? I had a picture of that recently, what mercy is. Has your child ever hurt themselves? Bad. So they're howling and they're crying and they're writhing in their agony. And you're sick to your stomach. Your heart goes out to them. You want to take away the pain. You want to heal them. That's Jehovah God's mercy. When he sees us in our guilt, he sees us in our misery, he sees us in our pollution, and his very bowels are troubled. His heart goes out to us to deliver us from that misery. His mercy is ever fervent. Jehovah God revealed himself to be such a shepherd to us. Jesus Christ. How do we know that he's a shepherd to us like that in Jesus Christ? Because you can see Jesus Christ. There he is. Jesus Christ is Jehovah God. And yet he is Jehovah God come to us as our shepherd. So Jesus said about himself, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. He's the revelation of the unfailing and ever fervent love and mercy of Jehovah God toward his people. He is, for while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. There's the manifestation of the love of Jehovah God. Jehovah in Jesus Christ, we see that Jehovah knows his sheep. That's what Jesus said about himself. I know my sheep. I know every one of them. I know them all by name. I know them because I, as Jehovah God, chose them. And I know them in my love. I lay down my life for my sheep, Christ said. There's the love of God. There we see Jehovah in his love toward his sheep, in his knowledge of his sheep. He came into the night of our sin and our misery in this sin-cursed world. And for his sheep he suffered the wrath of God all his life long. And for his sheep he went to the cross of Calvary and was cursed there and cast off and pushed down into the very depths of hell. For sheep. and he gathers his sheep. Other sheep, he says, have I, and I gather my sheep, so there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And he keeps his sheep. Of all that the Father giveth me, he says, I lose nothing. No one is able to pluck them out of my hand. What rich pasture does he feed us in? I am the bread of life, and I am the water of life. He feeds us with himself, with his own body and his own blood as our living food. We have no life in us, and he gives us to feast on him. He feeds us with his life, with his righteousness, with his holiness, with his perfect obedience, with his glory. And what is that food? Really, if you come down to it, when you eat and drink Jesus Christ, what is that food? What are you eating? You're eating all of the blessed thoughts of Jehovah God toward his people. That's our food. That's what we live on. That gives eternal life. That comforts us. That keeps us, preserves us. We eat Jehovah God's blessed thoughts to us. We eat and we're satisfied. Christ knows our enemies too. When he came as the great shepherd of his sheep, it's as if the very gates of hell opened up to a devils and diseases, death and affliction. And he said about his own cross, now is the judgment of the world. Now is Satan cast out. He judged all our enemies. He defeated all our enemies at the cross. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of God. And he keeps us. He guides us. He defends us by his own word and his spirit. He never suffers his own to be swallowed up of the world, to wander off and to perish, to die of starvation. He doesn't suffer his own. He keeps them. He preserves them. And as such, Christ too is the revelation of the long suffering and patience of God with his sheep. That's true with regard to Christ himself. He's the revelation of God's long suffering. God, for our sakes, for the sake of sheep, God endured all the suffering of his Son in order to save us from our sins. And it's that same long suffering characterizes all God's dealings with his people. How many times has he not guided you in a safe path when you yourself would have turned away and perished? How many times have you not gone to the great and good shepherd of his sheep with your sin, with your guilt, with your pollution? And how many times has he not forgiven you? How many times has he not turned you? How many times has he not brought you back? How many times has He not guided you when you had no idea what the way was? Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of His sheep. And what about those sheep? Should we, when we talk about the sheep, should we focus on how dumb and foolish and stupid sheep are? Should we? It's true, you know. I don't know if there's a dumber animal on the planet than a sheep. Besides that, they are not very strong. They certainly aren't self-sufficient. No wonder the Bible casts the reprobate as goats. A goat can take care of itself, you know. Doesn't really need a shepherd. Clamber up the rocks, browse and forage among the bushes and shrubs. But not a sheep. Sheep can't do that. Sheep without a shepherd will perish. That's why Scripture says, "Thy servant, like a wandering sheep, has lost his way." What defenses do sheep have against the ungodly? Do they have any defense? No sharp hooves. They have no horns. They have no sharp teeth. And so Scripture also says, "Thy servants, like sheep, are killed all the day long." But you understand, when the Scripture calls us sheep, here in this psalm, it's not focusing upon the sheep as a dumb and helpless animal, but it's focusing on that sheep in relationship to the shepherd. The shepherd's the main focus of the psalm. What is a sheep in relationship to the shepherd? I'll tell you this, a sheep knows his shepherd. That's what Jesus said. "I know my sheep and am known of mine." A sheep with infallible accuracy knows his shepherd. He knows that shepherd's voice, and he follows that shepherd. He knows that. He knows that because he's made a sheep of God by God's own sovereign election and grace. He hears his shepherd. He hears him speak to him. And don't ever equate that with a mere intellectual or outward knowledge. Don't ever equate that with merely listening to a sermon, either merely listening to a very good sermon. That's not hearing the shepherd necessarily. There are thousands and thousands and thousands who can open their Bible and read. There are thousands who hear many sermons. And they hear many things about Jesus. But they fail to know Him. That's because the knowledge of the shepherd that the sheep has is basically synonymous with the spiritual knowledge of faith. That's what Christ said. Ye believe not, He said to the Pharisees, who heard all His sermons, saw all His mighty works. He said, "Ye believe not because you're not of my sheep." And the opposite then is also true. Ye believe. You know the shepherd, and you hear his voice, because you are my sheep. The sheep know the shepherd. They know him with the spiritual knowledge of true faith. They know him in his justifying righteousness that takes away all their guilt. When the shepherd speaks, the shepherd removes with that voice all their sin and all their guilt. They know him. They know him because they have been made one plant with him. You see, there is something about the relationship of Jesus to his sheep that never characterizes an earthly shepherd's relationship to his sheep. And that is this: the sheep of Jesus Christ are made one plant, one body, one organism with Jesus Christ. They know him, therefore, as their head, their Lord, their Master, their Savior, their Redeemer. They know him in all his saving benefits. They know him in all his grace and all his mercy. There's a connection between the sheep and Jesus Christ. They were buried with Christ into his death, and they were raised with Christ to newness of life. They were created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God before ordained that they should walk in them. They who were dead in trespasses and sins are quickened together with Christ and raised up and set in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And their knowledge of him is sure. You can't fool a sheep. Maybe for a time, not forever. You can't fool a sheep. They will follow their shepherd because they know his voice with an infallible certainty. And because there are sheep, therefore, and they know him, they always hear him. The voice of others, of hirelings, wolves, false teachers, the voice of others they'll never listen to. Because their shepherd speaks to them from heaven. He instructs them. He calls them. And don't ever equate that hearing of the sheep with a mere outward hearing. The hearing of the sheep is a deep inner spiritual reality. The voice of the shepherd comes to them from heaven, and that voice of that shepherd addresses them in the very depths of their being and their hearts. And that voice of the shepherd draws them out of darkness into God's marvelous light. That voice of the shepherd, if they are wandering in sin, that voice of the shepherd arrests them in that sin so that they could proceed no further. And that voice of the shepherd turns them. And that voice of the shepherd draws them to God. And that voice of the shepherd commands the light to shine out in the darkness of their hearts. And that voice of the shepherd gives the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that voice of the shepherd transforms them from glory to glory. That voice of the shepherd draws them ever upward and ever onward toward heaven. They know him. And they hear him. And therefore they follow him. You cannot make a sheep follow others. I don't really care what you do to them. They won't. You can threaten them. You can do great violence to them. You can rob them of their dignity, and their name and their place in the world. You can take all their possessions and you can threaten them with destruction. But they will not follow any other than the shepherd. They follow him. They follow him because of his own voice. That voice that drew them to him is the same voice of the shepherd that keeps them by him. That's not true of a sheep by nature, you know. By nature, we must say, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. By nature, the sheep walk in the world and perish. By nature, the sheep would turn away, go in its own way. But that same shepherd who has called them and who has addressed them in the depths of their being and who has drawn them to him keeps them by that voice. Constantly, you and I as sheep must be brought back to our shepherd constantly. Is that not true? It's true of me. I am prone to halt and stumble. Grief and sorrow dwell within. Thy servant, like a wandering sheep, has lost his way. We're turned back by the shepherd as sheep. And that's true of us more and more. The longer we're in the shepherd's flock, the more we hear his voice, the more we'll see that's true. We're utterly dependent upon the great shepherd of the sheep. And with the Lord as your shepherd, you won't want to want is not to desire something. So a little child says, I want a new bike. To want is to lack. With Jehovah, the shepherd of his sheep, you and I will never lack. And you can never understand that to mean that you will never lack the means to live in this life. You'll never lack food. You'll never lack water. You'll never lack a house or a place to stay or a bed to sleep in or a job to have. I can tell you as shepherd or as sheep of the triune God, our shepherd, you're going to walk through a valley of the shadow of death. And let me describe what that means, to walk through a valley of the shadow of death. I'll describe what that means to you in the words of Paul. There's tribulation, and there's distress, and there's persecution, and there's famine, and there's sword, and there's nakedness, and there's peril. For thy sake are we killed all the day long. And let me tell you the experience of sheep of Jehovah God in the Old Testament. As they walked through that God-hating world that was all dark around them, that was full of lies and the curse, they had a trial, cruel mockings and scourgings, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. of whom the world was not worthy. That's the experience of a sheep. And oh yes, God is our shepherd. He'll take care of our food and drink. He'll take care of our bodies and our families and our homes and our jobs. It's all in His hand. But you have to understand what want is. Lack. It's death. That must be clear in relationship to that sheep. Take away the sheep's shepherd, and therefore you've taken away the sheep's food and water, and death inevitably follows. A long, miserable, painful death. And that's what want is. Want is hell. That's what want is. It's hell. It's eternal lack. It's eternal suffering. It's eternal nothingness. That's what want is. To live apart from God is death. The Bible describes death as want. Take God away from man, and man is utterly miserable. To be happy, man must have God. He must have the love of God and the mercy of God and the righteousness of God and the holiness of God and life with God. That's the only thing that satisfies man. And to live apart from God is eternal want. And that's all there is outside the sheepfold of Jesus Christ. All there is in the world. Oh, they may eat and they may drink and they may laugh and they may be merry. And they look as though they're so full and so happy. I'll tell you, they don't have God. And so they're utterly miserable. Nothing. Not having God in this life, they won't have Him in the life to come. And so they'll eternally want. They'll weep, and they'll wail, and they'll gnash their teeth, where the fire is not quenched, and the worm never dies. To rot for all eternity in hell. That's want. But the believer has Jehovah as his shepherd. And so he'll never want. You can strip him of all his earthly things. You can take it all. Take it all. Take his clothes and his food and his raiment and his house and his job and take his life. He doesn't want. So that when God leads us to the valley of the shadow of death and we stand in the very presence of our enemies, we don't want. Goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. How does another psalm put it? Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward lead me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Who on earth is there beside thee? God, Jehovah God, the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You see, God, my boundless joy. Say that today. Say that every day of your life. Live out of that reality. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thee thanks for thy love of us, and thy care of us, and thy many and good words to us. Lord, comfort our hearts. Strengthen us by thy grace. Lead us to eternal glory. We ask this all for Jesus' sake. Amen.